Blog Talk Radio.
Talk Radio, Black Free Thinkers. This is Kim, and I just wanted to say good afternoon to everybody. Good afternoon. Thanks for listening in. Thanks for coming into the chat room. I definitely appreciate you guys. And today, you know, it's just going to be open conversation, open chat. Call and let us know what's really on your mind, what's going on. And again, you know, we are here to challenge you to think and live for yourself. Not convert you, not in any bit. You know, we allow people to be themselves. We appreciate you for who and what you are. And we have Mandisa, president of Black Nonbelievers of Atlanta, on the line right now. Good afternoon, Mandy.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. How are
awesome.
You?
Awesome. I am doing well, thank you. It's always a pleasure to be on the show, always.
Always, you know this. And, you know, we enjoy having you here. Because, you know, you already know that. Because it's like, you know, it's just good conversation, good topics. You know, you and the people that call in and the people in the chat room, like I said, you know, we appreciate them. And we just want to let them know that there are a lot of good things coming up in the next several months. So you guys stay tuned. Definitely stay tuned because some great work, some great things are happening. And, you know, as we've stated to you all before, we are the change, all of us, collectively. We need to start working together, you know, better, you know, like a fine-tuned, you know, gears. You know, it takes you know, every spoke to make it work. So, you know, we have to get better at this. But we're doing pretty good right now, so no complaints.
Yes, I agree absolutely 100%, you know, and part of that change, like you said, we have to change, we have to be the change that we want to see, and that means looking within ourselves and finding out what we can do better, you know, and self-checks are always necessary because, you know, when we get in the throes of our everyday lives and we interact with people, it becomes so much easier to see what's wrong with them but not with us.
Exactly.
And they're the hardest things to do. They're one of the hardest things is to say, you know what, man, maybe I can do this better. But it's necessary. It's necessary for growth and development. And when people see you grow, then they're inspired to grow as well. And
exactly.
That is just, yes, that is just something that, you know, as easy as it sounds, I'm here to tell you it's not. It really isn't. But it is absolutely necessary.
Exactly, and it shows our growth and our maturity as people to be able to look at ourselves and introspect, if you will, and make evaluations and grow from there. I just think it's extremely important that, you know, how can we, you know, try to espouse, you know, certain virtues and certain types of resolutions to situations for other people when we're not trying to find resolutions or solutions to our own problems. I'm talking about interpersonal problems, you know, issues, you know, again, you know, going back to stigmas and, you know, things that happen, you know, in our lives. Why is it that, you know, there are a lot of people walking around that are emotionally unstable, that have, you know, some serious issues going on in their lives, but yet they don't want to go and get the appropriate help. And one of the reasons is because of the stigma, you know, in you know, particularly certain cultures. And I just really do believe that we need to break those stigmas down, and we need to start encouraging people to go get the help that they need, because it's not doing them any favors.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, and they're hurting around them.
Yes. And, you know, it's one thing that I've noticed, especially in the Black community, is that because of the historical, because of the historical nature of the injustice that has been perpetuated against us physically and mentally, therapy is something that is needed in our communities. It's looked down upon. And it's considered, you know, betrayal to talk about problems in our communities and within our families. But it's absolutely necessary, because when you don't talk about these things, when they don't open up, the problems just fester. They don't
exactly.
get any better. And the generations to come are not better off because of these, because of the damage that has taken place.
Exactly, and it turns into a volcanic type of situation, which is why you see these explosions in our communities, like what happened in L.A. with Rodney King. That was bound to happen, and truth be told, in my opinion, is on the verge of another breakthrough coming through. So they're going to see another explosion. So it's just the right situation, and all hell is going to break loose. But that's because a lot of the people let things build up, they allow it to build up, and it gets to a point where the pressure is too much, and then they just explode. And that's an issue. That's the reason why you have the issues with high blood pressure with some people. It's a lot of stress, a lot of pressure, and we just have to find ways to, you know, if something's on your mind, if someone hurt you, I feel that you should be able to identify those emotions. That's one problem. Some people don't know how to identify the emotions. But not only identify the emotions, but being able to express those emotions. You know, because one of the issues that I have is if you have two, you know, guys talking, and the one guy, why can't he say to the other guy, well, look, stop saying that. That hurts my feelings. And
right.
if he does say that, then all of a sudden now he's called all of these names called salt and a whole bevy of other names that I can think of. Why is that? Why can't he have emotions? Why can't he have feelings? And why can't he express that?
Absolutely.
Why is that an issue? Right. And so you have all these situations in which you have the people, and it just turns into a very negative situation. And we definitely, it needs to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, mental health care. I really do believe that mental health care definitely needs to be addressed, and it needs to be more readily available to people as well. It definitely needs to be more readily available.
I absolutely agree with that, Kim. I absolutely agree.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, what do we do? You know, at this point in time, what do we do? I think we, you know, encourage people to go get the help that they need. And in addition to encouraging, you know, helping them or encouraging them to go and get the help they need, that's the reason why sometimes, you know, it seems arbitrary to some people, but it's not necessarily arbitrary. I post links to different places where people can go get the help, the hotline and the information where you can get local health care, whether it's, you know, your physical health care, but also mental health care. I post that purposely every once in a while to let people know that there are resources out there. Now, it may take a while before you can get an appointment, but the resources are there. You know, you've gone years without the help, another month or two, fingers crossed that, you know, you can make it that long, but they have the hotline so you can call people. There are people out here that are willing to help you, and so I just think that that's one of the issues that we definitely need to address more and, you know, help people to help themselves, because how can you help someone if you can't help yourself?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So it's just, yeah, definitely. Definitely. So it's just interesting, the whole concept of stigmas in, you know, just communities and being able to go forth and move on. So that's just how that goes right there. So, yeah, another thing that I wanted to talk about a little bit today that I just found interesting is people and these cliques.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is I was reading someone's Facebook status. You know, yes, guys, I do read them every once in a while. I may not necessarily respond to them, but I do read them. And basically, this one young man was talking about how finding good conversation can be an exercise of futility depending on the subject matter, how certain people will respond to pop culture, but not necessarily subject matter that's thought-provoking or that can help, you know, any of us as far as our evolving as an individual in this movement, if you will. And I just thought that was interesting, and I somewhat agree. I guess my question is, when is subject matter that's going to help you evolve as a person, that's going to educate you, that's going to enlighten you, why is it that you get crickets?
You know, I think part of the reason why is it goes back to that self-check thing. Many people want to be able to tell everyone else what it is that's wrong with them. But to address certain issues that, the serious issues that pertain to helping our community, that means that people are going to, they're going to be scrutinized. And they're going to have to also self-scrutinize. And that is something that for them is hard. You know, people, I think, in general, have a hard time adapting to change and doing things differently because they become so complacent and they become comfortable in what they think. But the problem with that is you don't grow. And then when you don't grow and you think that others are supposed to just kind of follow that, then the community doesn't get any better. So I think that's part of the reason, and that means that they would actually have to go out and do something. You know, I mean, some people are afraid of the unknown or what they think that the outcome might be, but if you don't try at all, then you'll never know.
Exactly. And it's really interesting because constructive criticism is a good thing. It helps you grow as an individual. There is always room for improvement.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, definitely. And sometimes I know it's hard. I believe it's hard for all of us to have someone call us and tell us, you know, what we're saying or what we're doing that may be detrimental, you know, to our growth as an individual. But it's good to have people out there. They care enough about you to critique you and let you know, well, this is wrong, this is where I feel that you can improve. All you can do is, you know, reject it or accept it. And, you know, if you're trying to improve and trying to grow as an individual, you can just take that as a lesson learned and learn something from it and move on and then be able to help someone else. Because, again, yeah, you're right. People can always tell you what's happening and what's wrong in another person's life and give criticism and tell them how to improve, but yet they're stagnant in their own.
Yes.
Yeah, they're definitely stagnant in their own. And the first one to take offense when you're trying to, you know, assist them or trying to help them achieve whatever goals they're trying to achieve. And so that's one thing that I've never, you know, understood just about people in general. You know, I always thought everybody wanted to improve, but I guess there's some people out there that are happy where they are. And if you're happy where you are and you're truly, truly happy, then by all means, I love it.
Right. But then the thing is, don't complain that things are not getting better, you know, that and that certain things are happening, but you don't want to do anything about it. You know, you can't just complain that everyone else is not doing anything, but you aren't either.
Exactly. You know, you're not doing anything either, but you're complaining that someone else isn't doing. And that's the reason why I say we are the change. And that's why we have to be more solutions-based. And we have to go out there. We have to stop pointing the finger at everyone else because, again, you know, that's the reason why nothing is getting done. And certain people they basically, they rely on that. They rely on those of us that are, quote unquote, out the box, if you will, you know, of non-conforming people. They depend on us to continue to point the finger and do nothing. It's time for us to stop that. It's time for us to change that. It's time for us to go out there and be the change that we keep saying that is needed. We need to get out there. We need to be, you know, again, applying for our 501c3s, applying for these different grants. One of the shows that we did together was about the HIV and AIDS in the, you know, the black community and the deafening silence of the black church. Instead of, you know, continuing to point the finger at them, you know, we're going to be applying for our, you know, 501c3s and for these different grants, and you'll be seeing us out on the corner handing out bags of prophylactics, you know, because people are going to, you know, have relations. They're going to have sex. That's not going to happen. Yeah, and we're not asking them not to. We just want you to be safe about it.
As exactly, and you know that go. This goes to an article I read recently on an online magazine website, which was called "Abstaining from Abstinence," and it discussed the church's lack of properly dealing with sex education, and how they've had a long history of promoting abstinence, telling these teenagers to wait until they get married to have sex, or that there will be serious consequences if they do. And yet these teenagers still end up getting pregnant. They still end up catching diseases. They have no proper idea of what, you know, sexuality is, because even if they are being taught in school, the parents are telling them something different, and their pastors are telling them something different, which is in contradiction to what they need to really be learning about sexuality and their feelings. So therefore, they end up getting caught up, and this abstinence-only education is not working. It's a setup for failure, and for especially not just in my opinion, but what has been shown.
Exactly, the statistics bump what you're saying. But again, it's a psychological game. It's a mind game, and they're basically, that's being done on purpose. They know if they tell these children and adults to not have sexual relations, they're going to go out and have it. Yet they're producing more children, and the reasoning behind some of it is with those children that are being produced, that's more congregants, more, you know, bodies in a pew. But in addition to that, again, a lot of people don't realize is that they're gambling with your children's lives. Children born into poverty have a greater chance of remaining in poverty. And most of those children end up in jail or in the military or, you know, something worse. And, again, it's a play, because a lot of people don't realize that these private penal systems, these private jails, some of them are on the stock market. So they're gambling that your children will go to jail. They're gambling that you will have more children to put into the system, because they know if a single mother or, you know, an economically disadvantaged two-parent home, if they have children, it's a good chance they will still won't be able to have, be able to afford those children the education and the amenities needed, especially if they're being encouraged to go out and be fruitful and multiply, and they're having multiple children. So to me, it's easier just to have one or two children and give those one or two children as much as you can, and, you know, have the money to put them in after-school programs, have the money to send them to get private tutoring if they need it, have the money so that these children have things they need so that they can have, you know, good self-esteem, healthy self-esteem. But instead, you have these people out here with 7, 8, 9 children, and they can't afford it. And one of the first things, because, you know, a friend of mine, we've had arguments about this, and especially when she, you know, decided to procreate this last time, her response was, well, God blessed her with the child and that God has always provided a way for someone to help her take care of her children. And I said, well, why does God have to provide someone else to help you take care of your children? Why can't you take care of that child? And why are you having a child that you know you can't afford?
Exactly.
You're acknowledging that you can't afford that child. And, you know, then you know, it's just interesting, especially when they're not necessarily trying to do anything to improve their lot in life. So you're having this child. Life is not getting any easier or any better for yourself. So you're condemning that child to a life of poverty, in a life of lack. And I just think that's selfish on the parents' behalf because they're lonely and they want someone in their lives. And that's not every case. I'm just talking about the one situation that I'm talking about. And I just think it's unfair.
I absolutely agree with that, Kim. And also, even going back to something I said last week about parents needing to be retrained about sex education because these ideals, especially these religious ideals, have been passed down generation through generation, and they've become very dysfunctional in nature. I think if more parents told their children, look, if you don't want to have children at all, it's okay. It's okay if you don't want to have children, and it's okay if you choose to have sex for pleasure and not necessarily want to get married. You don't have to get married in order to have sex. It is a natural human practice.
Exactly.
And it is natural to feel sexual urges, and not to say that you just want to run out and, you know, and have sex with any and everybody that that comes your way. However, if you're taught properly to use discretion and know what you want, healthy sexuality, it is okay to express that, and it is okay not to have to fall in love with the first person that you have sex with. You can detach these emotions so that you are not always caught up. Because
exactly.
What abstinence education tends to do is seems to put into, especially the young ladies, it puts into their mind that the first guy or the first male that they have sex with is going to marry them. And in the teenage years, that is unrealistic. It is unrealistic
exactly.
to know that you're going to be in love with this person for the rest of your life. That is a very, I mean, and I think at any stage in life, you're always going to learn, but especially at that time, it is a very experimental time. You're very curious. You're finding yourself. There should be no reason why anyone is thinking of being in a serious relationship and having children when they're teenagers. It is okay
exactly.
to enjoy yourself. You learn. You have fun. And, you know, it doesn't have to be that serious. Yes, life is serious, but it doesn't have to be, you know, because once you have children, things become serious. I have three. I mean, there are real responsibilities, and there are times where, you know, your emotional status is tested with yourself, any other person, and with the child. It is a lot to handle.
Exactly. Go ahead.
And I'm just saying, and then you have to consider that in this world, you know, children. Children may be, you know, maybe gay or they may be homosexual, and it's okay for them to be honest about that. You know, we're still battling with people who don't think that people who are gay should be openly expressive, and I totally disagree with that. I know we're both proponents for LGBT rights and expression because it is very important. It should not be demonized anymore because it is natural. It doesn't mean that it will occur in everybody, but, you know, it is better for people to live as themselves than to hide it and to have to conform to what is considered traditional standard, you know, practices and ideals.
Exactly. But, you know, again, yes, GE just said, yeah, pray the gay away. And that's another... a moneymaker for a lot of these churches and organizations that deliver it, telling people that they can have therapy and be, you know, how can I put it, delivered or cured of homosexuality. There is no such thing. There is no, either you are or you're not. If you decide, you know, if a person is, you know, gay or bisexual or whatever, and they decide that they no longer want to have sexual relations with someone of the same sex, what do? You just stop. Real simple. I don't know why it's been being made to be
absolutely
complicated, you know, you can't pray the gay away. There is no such thing. I mean, it's not even so much about not having sex with someone of the same sex. When I say you can just stop just having sex, period. There is this thing called celibacy, and it's very real. It takes a lot of damn willpower, but it can be done. It can be done. But, you know, there are just some people out there that they capitalize on everything. And because a lot of gay people have been told they're living in sin, they've been told that what they're doing is wrong because they're not producing children. And it's really interesting. Not everybody is meant to be a parent. And then here's another thing that gets me. Why is it that those of us who chose not to have any children, why are we called selfish?
Right. Right. I think it's because, you know, when I think religion, especially Christianity, and most religions in general, they tend to, of course, glory. You have to do things for the glory of God. God, like you said, wants you to be fruitful and multiply. So how dare you want to, you know, not want to glorify your God and his works by procreating or by not, you know, and, you know, it's so, of course, the humans are supposed to be innately weak. We're not supposed to think for ourselves. We're just supposed to do everything blindly and just do whatever this God or his, you know, his disciples or whatever tell you to do.
Right. Exactly. It is funny how God hates everyone they do.
Right.
Whatever they don't like, their God doesn't like that either. And it's interesting because the people that follow them, in many cases, they don't question them. And if they do question the subject matter at hand, that's where the cognitive dissonance comes in. And they have these conflicting thoughts, these conflicting views. They're like, well, wait a minute, I support the LGBT community, but over here it says that, you know, that behavior and that lifestyle is wrong. And but yet, you know, and especially the ones that are involved in a lifestyle, the ones that are gay and bisexual, that are in the church. And they're sitting there and they're listening to these sermons, and it's constantly tearing down at their self-esteem, their self-confidence, all of that. But yet they come back every Sunday to have someone tell them that, you know, that they're wrong, that they're in sin. And it's just interesting, especially when the majority of the times the person that's teaching those messages or sending out that information, they're battling with some of the same issues.
Absolutely.
If you want to know about it, the prime example was, you know, out there in Decatur, Georgia, with him and his issue there, the good old bishop. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's a great example right there, and he's not the first and he won't be the last. And it's just, it's a lot of people out there that they'll teach you one thing and live a different life, and that's one of the reasons why the church in general is starting to lose a lot of their members. They're starting to lose a lot of their people for the simple fact that, again, going back to that cognitive dissonance, yeah, I know what I say here, but I'm going to go out here and do this. They're teaching and saying one thing, but they're living a totally different life. So they have these double lives, these double thoughts, all of this going on. And my question to them is, why is that? It's so hard for you to allow people to live their lives and to think as they see fit. I believe that if a person chooses to be spiritual or religious or what have you, you can do that and still live your life. My question is, why are you out here lying to people? Why can't you say, well, yeah, I like sex and I'm going to have it, and I'm going to have it with who and, you know, whoever I choose to have it with, and there's nothing you can really say or do about it. And that's just how it is, but yet I still believe in whatever it is that they happen to believe in.
Yeah, I think, you know, part of the big church's biggest money maker is guilt. And I think it has been for the longest time. The more people feel guilty about what it is that they have done, then that's the more control that institution can have over a person's physical and mental over their body and mind.
Exactly. Guilt and fear. Guilt and fear, those are guilt, fear, and manipulation. those are the three main, well, that's the main foundation of the church. Because, you know, we were just talking about this, how they guilt you into giving 10% of your money, and then if guilt doesn't work, then they use fear with the threat of hell and the threat that God won't love you anymore. Because in many cases, some of these people have esteem issues. They were probably abused or neglected growing up, so when they didn't get the type of attention and the emotional response and the emotional nurturing that they needed growing up from their parent or parents, then they figured they could get it from this God. And with someone threatening to take that love away, that love that they feel that they never received, you know, it's abuse. It's abuse. And there's a lot of abuse of power in these different churches. I just want people to recognize what's happening to them. Now, after you get the information and you hear the psychological and emotional games they're playing with you, and you choose to go back, that's fine. But you can never say you weren't told and that no one ever explained what was happening.
Yes, that is very true. I mean, it's that knowledge is power, and, you know, education is key. You know, and sometimes, and unfortunately, it seems like a lot of parishioners are willfully ignorant. They're willfully blind. They have been advised against certain actions, or at least, you know, been warned about what could happen as a, you know, as a result of, you know, following these charlatans, and they still do it.
Exactly. Because, you know, they'll see that different leaders and different people within the congregation are doing the exact opposite of what they're saying, but yet they will still back that person up and say, well, you know, it was God's will, or who am I to judge? And yet when it comes to their house, you know, when a person starts abusing them or taking advantage of them or their children, then they want to turn around and they want everybody to rally behind them. But when it was happening to someone else, oh, well, I'm not going to get involved. And touch not mine anointed, or judge not, or any of those scriptures that they use to cover, you know, these leaders and cover the people in the church. And that's one thing. Well, how can you cover darkness? How can you cover evil? How can you cover manipulation? How can you cover that? And then in some cases, you send people into the fire so that, you know, that person's focus won't be on you. I mean, where are your morals? Where are your ethics? What's happening? And with each subsequent generation, it seems to get worse. Well, I can't necessarily say that. I take that back. Some of these younger generations, they are starting to express themselves. They're starting to say, no, I don't believe that. No, we're not having that. No, we're not participating in that. And for the young people who are strong enough to stand up for themselves and their beliefs, I applaud them. I applaud them. I have so much admiration for them, because as I was growing up, I was taught to do as I was told and not necessarily what I see the adults doing, and to, you know, not speak back and to just, you know, even if they told me to jump off a building, I did that because, you know, one of my seniors or an elder said that, and I just think that is so wrong. Like, we should be, you know, encouraging these children to be individuals, and that's one of the issues in some of these communities, is that individualism and originality is discouraged, and I just think that that's doing us a disservice.
Yes, I absolutely agree with that. I really, really do. And, you know, it's there's an old saying that it takes a village to raise a child, and, you know, that whole there's no I in team and whatnot. So that tends to discourage individual thinking. And, you know, again, but if there are, no, and then that's that whole group thing that everyone is supposed to think exactly alike, you know, which is
right.
Totally, like you said, it's totally misleading. It's totally, it's unfair, really, to the individual,
right.
Because that's saying that you should have no individual thought. You shouldn't, you're supposed to just follow and do whatever you're told. And that carries over into adulthood. And then, you know, on the other hand, the parents, when these children grow up to follow whatever it is that you do, they get upset. Then they want to ask, well, why aren't you thinking for yourself? Or why don't you figure that out for yourself? Well, because they've been trained not to.
Exactly. They've been trained not to, and they've been trained to basically, like you say, to go along to get along with the group thing, you know, that group mentality. And, again, they're getting pressure not only from their, you know, their family, but they're getting pressure from their friends to conform. They want everyone to conform to this one particular image, and people can't live up to that. And, again, when I was saying about the cognitive dissonance, you have these conflicting views, these conflicting ideas, and it's just, you know, when you sit back and you think about it, I believe there are quite a few of those people that really just want to scream out, that want to scream out, no, I don't want to do that, no, I don't believe that, but they don't want to be shunned. They don't want to be shunned. They don't want to be rejected. And, again, it's that social construct. That may be the only life they know. They were raised in church 2, 3, 4, 5 generations in that particular church, and they don't want to lose their friends and extended family.
Yeah, absolutely
right. Yeah, I can understand that. You know, I can understand not wanting to lose, you know, that community, that, you know, that family, whatever it is that you built up in that church, and in some cases, it's status. And I can understand that. But there comes a time when you have to speak up and you have to say that this behavior isn't right. And, you know, you have to be an individual. You have to show that you do have a mind, you do have a brain, and you do think.
Yes, that is, you know, and unfortunately it is considered, you know, it is considered, like, again, I think we said betrayal as well, to if people, unfortunately, part of the problem is that we don't know how to disagree without becoming so emotionally involved. And I think this is humans in general. You know, everybody wants for everyone to agree with them, and then the minute you don't agree with them, you know, there's something wrong with you.
Exactly. Well, we have a caller on the line. We're going to bring on area code 904. You're on the air. In your name?
This is Jasper.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. I didn't get your full dialogue. I would like to ask, so you guys could kind of just give me a brief overview, and I'll put my two cents in.
Can you repeat that, sir? I didn't really hear you. I apologize.
He was asking what the subject matter is.
I didn't get the full dialogue of what you guys were expounding on, and I would like for you guys to give me a brief overview of what you were talking about, so I could put, you know, my thoughts into it. It just sounded interesting.
Okay, excellent. Well, we're just talking about, you know, a host of different subject matters. We were talking about sexuality in general, and how people should be able to express themselves sexually without being stigmatized, without feeling as though they're sinning, and that people should be educated about safe sex practices. And instead of pointing the finger at why hasn't this been done, it with all of the money that's flowing through the black church, you know, HIV and AIDS is one of, you know, the black community has the highest numbers. It's scary. You know, the CDC releases statistics all the time, and with black women in general, they're becoming, well, they are the fastest growing group of HIV, AIDS sufferers, if you will. And in addition to talking about that, we were talking about groupthink, right, Mandy?
Yes, we were. And we were also saying that, you know, there's always, you know, people want to talk about what should be done to help improve our communities, but it's so hard for people to look within themselves for improvement.
Okay, I can actually agree with most of that. But yeah, I can agree with most of it. But is it fair to say the very fact that some people are just so, I would have to say, you know, to a large extent, content with their living conditions, or content with doing this and doing that, whether it be in whether environmental factors that causes one to do drugs, that causes one to rob, steal, that causes one to sell drugs, that causes one to even possibly murder. Would you say would you say those people are so content that there's really no use in trying to so-called save them?
You know, we did touch on the fact that people do tend to become complacent, that it is hard to change something about themselves and probably their conditions. And part of that is due to fear and apprehension about the unknown, so to speak. And, that is part of it. However, one of the things that must be tackled is getting beyond that fear, you know, helping,
right.
You know, people become more confident in wanting to actually do something to improve not only their condition, but the condition of those around them.
Exactly. And we have to stop blaming our environment. And even though it is a contributing factor to the situation, just because you're in an environment in which you see violence, you see drug sales, and you see drug addicts, and just, you know, a bevy of other issues there, we have to stop saying, well, this is what's expected of us. That's why I was talking about being an individual, because there are people who have come out of those situations and have gone on to live very productive, very successful lives. I believe it depends on the person. In some cases, some of these people had some of the most negative influences in their home. We won't even talk about the people, you know, on the street or at school, but they had negative influences from, you know, their parents or their brothers and sisters, but yet they looked at that situation and decided that they wanted something different. They wanted something better in their lives. And I really do believe that as individuals, when we make up our minds that we want to overcome certain situations or to be successful, I believe we can. And success is just a matter of personal definition. There are some people out there getting a brand new car that's never been driven by anyone else. That's success for them. There are some people out there that want to own a corporation and employ thousands of people. That's success to them. And there are some people out there that paying their rent and having a few bucks left over so that they can go out and have a good time. That's success to them. So that's somewhat subjective, but I'm talking about what appeals to you as an individual.
I truly believe that you should really work on yourself first, and I would have to say have an I don't care mentality.
You said an I don't care mentality?
Yes, I mean, I'm not one who believes in saving people or trying to influence them in any type of way. Because my thing is, if I'm an adult, you're also an adult. There's really no excuse why I should have to feel as though you know, your burden is on my back, or I have to try to so-called help you. I mean, I'm for people taking drugs if they want to. I'm for people doing whatever they want. It's just as long as it don't affect me personally.
But the thing, it does affect you. It may not affect you directly, but indirectly it can and it will. So let's say someone in your neighborhood has a serious addiction issue, and let's just say they, you know, kick in your door while you're on vacation, and they come and they take all of your personal belongings. That's affecting you directly. But let's just say they did that to your sister. Now, that's not necessarily affecting you directly. It's affecting you indirectly. But in turn, you're still going to try to help her rebuild her life. Why? Because that's your family member. Or would you not care in that situation, too?
No.
You wouldn't care?
Mm-mm. What'd you say?
I said you wouldn't care in that situation either with your sister?
No. No, she has a husband.
Okay. Well, okay, and I can see your logic in that there. But no, I mean,
wow. Well, I mean, I guess would there even be somewhat of a concern, though, that it wouldn't happen again? Because, I mean, suppose it does happen, you know. I'm sorry?
No, sir, there would be a concern, to be honest.
Of course, and it should be. And there should be.
Yeah, there would be.
That is what we're saying, is that, you know, and I do agree that, yes, you know, every adult should be, you know, responsible for their actions. However, when it comes to certain mental states and certain advantages and disadvantages, I do think that they play a part in whether or not an individual can come to that realization faster than some others. And there's nothing wrong with helping as long as you don't enable. There is a huge difference. Because
right.
If someone is having a problem and they need help and you help them, you know, that's one thing. If they take it and they're able to benefit from it, because there's always going to be times where we need help and we need some sort of counsel and some sort of upliftment. However, that shouldn't be the primary source for said individual. Because, and then if they expect to always lean on that, then that's that. Then the other parties are enabling them, and that's where the problems come in.
Right. There's a lot of codependent behavior. There's a lot of codependent behavior in, you know, certain communities, especially the one in which you speak of, and they don't necessarily realize what they're doing. And that's not making excuses for them, because I want them to get the help. But in many cases, they've been taught to not reach out, not to seek help, not to go reach out beyond that little box that they've been put in. And again, it's a detriment to themselves, and it's a detriment to others around them. And regarding mental health care, there are a lot of people walking around that should be in counseling, that should be medicated and or both, and they need a lot of help. And can we provide that help? No, not me personally, but I can direct you to the resources that can help. They can help you, because I would think that that individual will want to feel better. They will want to find some resolution to the issues, you know, that are happening, you know, with them. But as an individual, as me as an individual, yes, I feel that I should reach out and help other people, because I feel that everything affects me, whether it's direct or indirect.
Okay. I see. Everybody don't think alike, though. That's my point. Even sometimes, helping people is actually a very, very good thing. But the thing with me is that when you go out your way and try to help others, that could actually drag you down with them in the wayside, I would have to say.
Yes, and that's why I would say you don't enable. You don't help others, and you're hurting yourself.
Right.
You know, that's very important, because if you're not taking care of yourself, then there's no way that you can truly help someone else.
Exactly. And, you know, there is such a thing as dead weight, young man. I agree with you. There are some people that you have to cut loose. There are some situations that, even though it hurts you, you have to walk away from. Then it's okay. It's okay, you know, to feel that way and to walk away from those situations and to let certain people go. So I agree with you on that, you know, as far as there are some cases in which it is an exercise of futility.
Okay. Well, I agree. Well, thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you for calling in.
Nice talking to you.
No problem. Nice talking to you both. You have a great one.
You do the same.
All right.
But, yeah, he's right. There are some people out there that no matter how hard you try, or no matter, you know, what you want to do or what you try to do, that they are, you know, determined to hold on to that dysfunction, to hold on to the negativity, to hold on to, you know, whatever it is that they're trying to hold on to. But the way that I see it, it's theirs to hold on to. But the information is there, and if they choose to ignore it, then that's fine. That's fine, but you can never say that you weren't told. And
right.
You know, Yeah, and he's right. You know, not everybody thinks the same. This is not a monolith. And so that's why I commend him and I thank him for calling in to, you know, say what he, because, you know, I agree with him. You know, he sees things one way, I see it a different way, but there are some things that we can agree on and we see the same thing. And that's a wonderful thing, and that's how we learn from each other.
Right, absolutely. Because you just never know when someone may have a better solution as to how to deal with certain problems. And this brings me to a huge question within the atheist movement about how to increase diversity and how to bring out more more people of color, if you will. And
right.
You know, part one solution was you know, for certain organizations to bring about more minority leaders. And, you know, if they are qualified for the position, then why not give it to them? You know, no one, a truly objective skeptic would not just automatically consider that there is favoritism being placed on this. You know, a true skeptic, someone that is truly objective should be able to understand why this is taking place.
Oh yeah,
because,
definitely. Go ahead.
Yeah, and if people don't start looking beyond what they already know or what they think, then the movement will stay stagnant.
Exactly.
And there's always a way. And you know, unfortunately, you know, and this goes back to the young people show that we did that you did last week, is that
right.
Sometimes the elderly and the older generations, even though they are trying their best to counsel the young, sometimes they end up discouraging them because they don't listen, they don't take what they say into consideration, and they just think that they may know what's always best, and without even trying.
Yeah, exactly, and that's the truth. And, you know, I was speaking with a friend about this earlier today, and I was saying, you know, there are, you know, a few of us out here, and we're trying to disseminate the information, we're trying to talk to people, we're trying to encourage people, and some of us, we actually need some help with some of this. And in regards to some of the older people, a lot of them have the knowledge, but they're not speaking up. We need you guys to talk to us. We need some of the information that you have. We need some of your encouragement and some of your motivation. It won't be rejected, but we need you all to reach out and to talk to us and let us know. We need that sometimes too. And but we also need your help because there are things that you know that we don't know. So why try to reinvent the wheel? Help us. Help us so that we can help these other people. It's important. It's time for us to start talking to each other, talking more to each other, start helping each other. And it's just it's imperative that those of us out here that we reach out to them as well. Because, I mean, how can they offer help if they don't know we need it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Has to be. Communication is a two-way street, sometimes three and four ways. It cannot be that one side is trying to make all of the effort and the other isn't responding.
Exactly. Exactly, and that's the reason why quite a few of us, we've gotten quite frustrated, over a while. You know, you get frustrated, but yet you push on because you get stories or emails or inboxes of people saying, thank you, this helped me, thank you for explaining this, that, and the other. So that gives you some motivation to keep going on. But sometimes, you know, it would be nice just to have one of the, you know, especially someone who's been in this movement for a while, it would be nice to have one of them reach out and say, all right, young lady, great job. Keep up the good work. I mean, you just don't know how that makes us feel.
Right, absolutely. It is so uplifting and just so it's encouraging. It's very
exactly.
Encouraging, and a little encouragement goes a long way. Especially for those who really are doing their best and for those who really are trying. You know, it doesn't mean that you have to give. It doesn't mean that you have to, you know, give it all the time or that you should expect it all the time, because I think what tends to happen is that some people, they do things only to get credit for what they do. And if
right.
you think you're always going to get that, then you're mistaken.
Exactly. Exactly. You're not. You know, there are some people that definitely, you know, you're not going to get the credit. And sometimes, you know, I don't know. You're right. You know, you're not going to always get credit for what you do. And there are always going to be people out there who disagree with you. There are going to be people out there who are going to discourage you, who don't want you to succeed. But then I believe there are a lot more people out there who want to see you succeed. That want, and, you know, maybe they think that, you know, their words of encouragement won't mean anything. But, yeah, it does. It will. It will. We're human.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God, yes.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, as we move forward, you know, that's the reason why, you know, I've seen you do it and I've done it as well. You know, I'll see some of the young people or even some of the older ones and I'll reach out and I'll say, you know, great job, excellent. You know, it's important to let people know that they have, how can I put it? It's important to let people know that they've influenced you in a positive way. It's important to reach out and to tell people that they're doing a good job. It's important to give people information and disseminate and educate them to let them know, well, this will help improve your argument. This will help your understanding of certain things. It's just important that we work and help each other. And
you're absolutely right about that.
Exactly. So, you know, we're getting better. We're definitely getting better. And, you know, it seems as though, you know, the free thought movement, the free thought community is growing. But, yeah, in regards to what you were saying about, you know, some of the larger organizations attracting more minorities, you know, there are a lot of minorities out there. But in some cases, when you go to some of these events and you may happen to be the only person who looks like you in the room, And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But in some cases, you know, people have to show a little bit more sensitivity. We can't answer the question as to why other minorities aren't showing up and aren't coming. We can just offer you some advice on how you could possibly attract others. But, you know, it doesn't help when you start, you know, questioning us. And in some cases, you know, attacking us, because I'm starting to really get tired of people asking me, you know, why is black in front of our name? This is so that we can find each other. And if you
yes.
work with us, we'll be able to help other minorities come along, and we can find a comfort zone. You know, we can find a level of comfort in which we can all talk to each other and agree. And it's just interesting, but it's growing. It's more people coming into the movement. And I'm just really excited about our future.
I am as well. It is a very exciting time for everyone. It's just so great to see that it's been this year, you know, has just
right.
been phenomenal, because, you know, we've been interacting with so many people, especially since the inception of BNOA and your show, and we're getting to communicate and talk with people and break down certain barriers that others thought, you know, was going to be a little more impossible. It doesn't mean that it's going to change overnight. It doesn't mean that we still don't have a long way to go, but it's starting to change, which is so great. And I, for one, am very glad to be a part of it.
Exactly, exactly. You know, very happy. I'm looking at the progress that, you know, we've all made, you know, not just BNOA and not, you know, just, you know, this show, but just in general. Just in general, we've got to meet with other groups and just seeing the progress that's being made, seeing people starting to feel comfortable enough to express their non-belief or their dissatisfaction or, you know, their being unconvinced, if you will. And it's refreshing. It's refreshing to see people starting to express themselves,
starting to realize their individuality, starting to understand that it's okay not to believe. It's okay not to be a part of the group. It's not, I mean, you know, it's okay not to conform to the social pressure. It's okay.
Absolutely, and absolutely, and that old feeling of, like you said, when you go back to people don't want to lose that sense of family and that sense of community, if it's hurting more than helping to be around certain family members, if it makes you cringe inside, if it literally pains you to be around these people because you feel like you have to belong or you have to go along with what they say, with what they're saying and what they're doing, there is that option to find
right.
those who you know share similar schools of thought and that who you can communicate with better. Because one thing I've come to learn is that family doesn't necessarily mean blood relatives. You can choose your family.
Exactly. 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 And, you know, again, it's a matter of definition. You know, earlier today when we were talking about a few things, again, you define that word. You know, family doesn't necessarily mean someone who shares the same bloodline.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's just, it's really interesting. But, yeah, you know, we're making our own communities, making our own extended families, if you will. And that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. But I don't want us to fall into that religious mindset in which we forget about everyone else.
Right. We become no better.
Thank you. As a matter of fact, we're worse. We would be
yes.
worse. And the reason for that is because we pointed out what they were doing that was so wrong. Like when we were talking about, you know, homophobia, when GE brought that up in the chat room, you know, about some of the homophobia, some atheists that have homophobic tendencies and ideologies, if you will. And the way that I see that is they are worse than the people who oppress them. Why? Because you were once the victim. So how are you going to turn around and victimize someone else?
Right, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, so there's no logic behind that. For, you know, for people to want to be, you know, oh, hold on a second. Yeah, the show was only scheduled for an hour today, everyone. I'm sorry. But, yeah, you know, I just think that, you know, if we oppress other people, it makes us even worse because we were once the victim.
Right.
Yeah, so it's just interesting. But, you know, to those who came out into the chat room today, those who listened in to the show, those who are going to listen to the archives, thank you so much. We appreciate the support. And, you know, much love coming out this way, definitely, because, you know, we appreciate you. You know, both Mandy, you know, myself and other people who have participated on this show and who will participate in the future, thank you. That's all I can say for that. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
And it was great. Thank you for listening and chatting in with us.
Yeah, definitely. We'll have to do more mm-hmm. open chat. This seems to be, you know, they like this format. And that's a good thing because we can get, you know, issues and thoughts out there that normally, you know, that probably wouldn't necessarily fall by the wayside. But, you know, in general, if it doesn't fit into the format of the show, we kind of talk around it, even though the show can be rather fluid at times. But, no, definitely, you know, but again, I see that, you know, the community in general, we're making a lot of progress. We're making a lot of progress, and we just have to continue to do that and, you know, being action-based, solution-based. And that's where the name Praxis, P-R-A-X-I-S, you know, my newspaper, that's where it comes from. It means an action-based philosophy.
Right.
So there is a method to the madness. And just like with you guys, you know, you're out there, you're volunteering, you're getting the word out, you're getting the information out there, and your group is growing, and that is fantastic. You're doing a great job. And,
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. But,
again, you know, this was a great show, and I thank you for, you know, joining us, and I thank Dexter, the young man that called in. And again, you know, we're here to challenge you to think and look for yourself, not to convert you, and we're not trying to proselytize to you in any manner whatsoever. We just want you to express how you feel, you know, where you, you know, what you really feel about situations, what you really feel about certain subjects. There's not necessarily, you know, a right or wrong answer depending on the subject matter. You know, it could be very subjective, but we just want you to express it. You know, feel free. There's no need for you to conform to ideologies that you don't necessarily agree to. And so with that, you know, we're going to end the show, but thank you guys for coming out. Just want to let you know that we appreciate you, and we will see you next time.
All right. Y'all have a good afternoon.
All right. Bye, everybody.